It's time for Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley are here. We're getting close to the final version of Windows 10 for the spring edition. We'll have the details. They're actually adding features. What's going on with Microsoft versus the U.S. Department of Justice? Supreme Court's hearing it. Apple, did they really kick Azure to the curb? And a whole lot more coming up next on Windows Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, episode 559, recorded Wednesday, February 28th, 2018. Wear socks to bed. Windows Weekly is brought to you by IT Pro TV, the fun and entertaining way to sharpen your IT skills. Visit itpro.tv/ww and use the code WW30 to get a free 7-day trial and 30% off a monthly membership for the lifetime of your active subscription. It's time for Windows Weekly, the show where we cover the latest news from Microsoft with these cats right here on your left. Wearing the green cape, Mary Jo Foley from allaboutmicrosoft.com. That's her ZDNet blog. On your right, in the purple trunks, Mr. Paul Thurrott.
That is weird that you just said that, because when you said cape, I thought of a purple OneNote cape that I just found in my stuff because I was unpacking boxes from the move. And then you said cape, and I thought that's weird. And then you said purple.
Purple trunks. OneNote purple.
Yep.
Is that the that's the official? I'm looking at my OneNote. It's purple. Is that the purple official?
It is. I think I got it from Laura Butler at Build last year.
And it's what does it say? Like, does it have a big?
It's just it's a cape that has the OneNote logo on the back, like instead of the Superman logo.
I like
logo.
That. I would like that.
He wears it at home.
Yeah, I wear it around the house.
I have a T-Mobile. Matador with the cats. I have a T-Mobile cape. It was a giveaway on there. And Josh Windisch, one of our editors, went in there and he like came back with like four of them. He says, "I have extras." Okay, thank you, Josh.
I have an unlimited number of them. It's from T-Mobile.
I don't know where it is, though.
Yeah, a lot of different teams at Microsoft have their own little like gag logo thing.
Yeah, I got these, the Microsoft mustaches. Those are good.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Just kidding. All right. Apparently, I have now in my desk, John's obviously been a mustache drawer. So,
wow.
Thank you, John.
You need one.
Yeah.
Where's the Magnum PI? Is Magnum PI one of the mustaches? It must be.
Somebody refilled my mustache supply. I don't know which one. Months ago, I refilled this. I didn't realize. We ran out, John says. I don't
always
know.
Need more?
Which one's the Magnum PI? Is it?
No, it's none of those. Let me see the other one.
Yeah, this one's kind
like of. The ball player on the right. The that's cheap, pretty close.
The ball player.
Or the musketeer. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll try the ball player. 12 party styles.
Like this is like the Raleigh Fingers ball player version with the twirly.
This is kind of a ripoff because there's really only 6 party styles. They just doubled up. That's a ripoff.
The other one is in storage.
The other one's in storage? The cape?
It's just a copy of the safe.
Oh.
It's just, they gave you 2 of these.
You got 2 of those.
Yes. The good mustaches are in the safe, Leo. Surely you know that.
I actually almost did order good mustaches made of real human hair.
Oh, God.
Yikes.
But I'm glad I didn't. I don't think I look like Magnum P.I. Exactly.
No.
Yes, Mr. Thurrott.
Yep. Yeah, you look like Josh. Would you just answer the door?
I'm Higgins, yes. Yes.
Yeah, he's like that guy. He's like, indubitably.
Yes. Time for Windows Weekly. Now we're going to talk about Windows 10 RS4. This is why I don't grow a mustache. It takes a normally dignified person and Turns him into Higgins.
Oh, my God. That is good.
So I'm leaving it on. So let's talk about – we're getting close, aren't we? To,
I'm going to have to face some other direction now. I'm not sure if I'm going to look at the screen.
Here, I'll put you guys up. You don't have to look at me. We're
I like how it's like half as wide as it should be for your face. You know, it's like a kid's mustache.
That's the problem. I also put it a little high.
It's like someone trims their mustache themselves.
That's why they gave you two of each one. Yeah. Put them
side by
side. They
trim a little too much on each side, and then it ends up looking like that.
You should be closer to the lip. that didn't help. It's a little twisted. There we go.
You can wear two together.
Oh, God.
Yeah, you're like a drunk guy from a Three Stooges episode or something.
All right, enough of me. This isn't about me or my mustache. It's about Windows.
Oh, and my God.
We are getting close because what is 17? I'm sorry, 1803, right?
Right.
1803, and tomorrow is 3.
That's right.
Julia, if you think I'm going to be able to focus on anything right now, you're sadly mistaken.
Just don't look. Don't look.
Oh, my God. All right. Just put you guys up, and then it won't be an impact on you. Build 17110 is out. Yes. Was that the one that came out as we did the show last week, or is this another one?
This is yesterday.
Yesterday.
Yeah. Okay. Brand new. I'm speaking away.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. And the funny part is they're still adding features, which is kind of surprising. At this point.
Yep.
Yeah, two new enterprise features yesterday that are all about custom actions and scripts. And so I didn't really know how significant this was, but I had a couple people tweet to me and say, this is going to make things so much easier for us to deploy these Windows as a service updates thanks to these scripts.
Scripts.
So
scripts.
Scripting.
Do you think that they probably have a bunch of features in a drawer.
Yeah, let's take this one out.
That drawer is labeled RS5.
Yeah, but maybe they're finished, but they don't, I don't know, why would they hold on to them? Don't you want as much beta testing time as you can get? I don't know.
Well, that's why it's a little strange that they might add things this late in the process, but they seem to do this with every release, right?
I know, right. Right, like right near the end, suddenly there's still more features and then it just stops and then they finish fixing bugs and doing updates. And then one day there's RTM, which they don't call RTM, but we call RTM.
This is not RTM, probably.
This is not RTM. Yeah.
No, in fact, there's a big bug in this build where a lot of people don't see the Microsoft Store icon in the taskbar, which, you know, frankly, would be kind of a cool feature.
Not so bad, but
Do you see it, Paul, or not?
No, that's what I was just thinking. I literally, when this thing came out, I was in the middle of something. I never actually installed it yet, so I'm not going to do it now. I don't want to download the build while we're doing this, but
Paul, be brave, be bold.
Live on the edge.
Live on the edge.
What could go wrong? We'll be back in a few minutes.
Well, you've been having trouble with the past couple builds, right? Like I've seen you struggling on Twitter with these builds.
Yep. Yeah, I don't even remember the time frame anymore. I spent, I think it was last weekend, a lot of time just bringing a machine back up. Yeah, from that. So I was getting green screens, but blue screens on a Surface laptop. Yeah. So if you, someone asked me, someone when they saw one of the pictures asked me, you know, what did I update or what did I install that caused that? And I actually had kind of forgotten about it. I was, you know, I was trying to think like, what did I do? And what I tried to do was, you know, in the box, you can upgrade from S to Pro, you know, on the fly. And I tried to do that from the Insider build for some, there was like this one thing I had to run and I'm like, screw it. I'm just going to put Pro on this thing. And when you went into the store, it loaded the page for Windows 10 Pro Workstation instead of the Pro update from S. And I think it might be tied to the fact that, well, I don't know. It doesn't really matter what I think, but it doesn't matter, right? Who cares? We all have theories. I think UFOs are real too, by the way. But it just screwed the whole thing up. So like, it just started green screening after that, and it took me. I not related to the Windows 10 Insider Preview, but I had a lot of trouble with it. It was the Surface recovery disk that you make that I had problems with.
Okay.
Yeah. We're getting there, though. Getting there.
Well, yeah, but you shouldn't be getting blue or green screens of death at this stage in the game. That seems...
Yeah.
Surprising.
Obviously, because I hate myself and I am an idiot, I am going to go and do exactly the same thing again now that I brought the machine back up. But, you know, it's never... You're never really positive what the issue is, right? I've been updating this thing over time, so it's possible that it's a install over install type of thing. It might not happen this time, so I haven't gotten to it yet. It's every time I look at it, it's a little depressing. Like it's, you know, it's like jumping out of a perfectly good airplane. It's like you're going to screw up a perfectly good computer. Like it's working fine. Like I kind of hate to screw with it right now, but I will.
Yeah. But anyway, the other thing that might happen this week still is there could be a Redstone 5 build. Donna was hinting on Twitter. Because there's already been one a week ago, the first Redstone 5 build. So that, you know, that also tells you how close they are. They're already starting to release to testers these early builds of Redstone 5.
Yeah. When did they announce Skip Ahead last year? Was it like August-ish or even earlier than August? You know, somewhere in that time frame. So
Yeah, so yeah, only Skip Ahead is getting five, right? But this gives me hope too that they'll probably talk more about Redstone 5 at build, I would think.
Because it's already the obvious place tested in time. And you know, the announcements they had last year went so well, so why not repeat that? I'm sure this time
they won't do. You know what they won't do at build, right? Yeah. They won't say this is going to be in Redstone 5. They'll just say it might be in Redstone 5, it might not.
Well, I mean, that's the general feedback I would give them. You know, you don't. It's very simple to solve this problem. Just say we're working on these features. Mm-hmm. Some of them may appear in the next version. Some may not. You know, we'll see how it goes, and then that's it. There's no hard feelings. Well, there's still hard feelings.
Oh, there's still hard feelings. Oh, yeah.
but at least they have that to go back on. I mean, the problem was last time they came back and said, hey, guys, we never promised this in RS4 or 3, I guess it was at the time. And actually, let's play the tape, Bob. You did promise it. So, it's easy to fix.
It'll be I'm very curious what is going to make it into Redstone 5. Like, will some of the things around timeline and Cloud Clipboard actually be in there this time? Or
no? Yeah. Oh, that's right, because Timeline just got bopped out of RS4, didn't it?
No, it wasn't Timeline. Sets got bopped, right?
Sets. Oh, yeah. Right, okay. Thank you.
Sets is out.
I was just thinking, you know, Microsoft's in kind of a weird place with Windows 10 in some ways, because there's a lot of things that I think kind of fall toward the nonsense end of the scale, meaning features that don't really apply to a lot of people, like 3D or mixed reality, whatever, you know. So that stuff all makes it in. It's successful. It works, whatever. And then there's the stuff that I think is more important and, you know, just from my perspective, kind of a productivity type feature. Mm-hmm. And they seem to have problems with this stuff. And the problems are related to adoption. So a feature like My People or Timeline both suffer from the same issue, which is that it needs buy-in from third-party apps, services, or whatever for this thing to really make sense. And it never happened with My People. And I kind of worry about Timeline because it's a good idea. But if third-party apps don't support it, you know, it just kind of sits there by itself. It doesn't really do much.
True. You know what else we don't have this time yet anyway is a list of what's new for enterprises in Redstone 4. Remember, they made a big deal out of this with some of the previous ones. They actually did full blog posts saying, hey, here are all the enterprise features coming in this build of Windows 10. And I asked this week, I said, is there something like that? And they said, nope, stay tuned. So I'm like, okay, maybe there will be a blog post about all the enterprise stuff. But you can kind of go back and try to pull out what might be there. But some of the features in the enterprise builds that show up may not make it into the final. So it's kind of hard to know what is actually going to ship as part of the enterprise version.
I mean, I think from the perspective of the enterprise, and I am speaking from vast experience because I don't cover this market at all. I think the bigger stuff, in a way, is going to come through Microsoft 365, that, you know, the management capabilities that allow organizations to roll out Windows 10 or manage updates on Windows 10 or whatever are in some ways more important than individual features, you know, that might be the product that would impact end users, right? I think it's more like the back end management stuff.
Yeah, and a lot of security stuff too.
See, now, I understand we're going to have an update to the update as well. So that's
an update to the update.
Yeah, that was the last build. That was kind of confusing. They made an update to Windows Update.
Oh, yes.
Well, they have to do that. Otherwise, update would be out of date.
That's right. Yeah. You don't want your updates to be out of date.
No. Right. Did they do anything important to the update, or is it just... I wonder if they added features that will give us new and exciting features down the road, but we just don't know yet.
Well, you know, what Raph and some of the other guys are the ones who go in and like look in the builds about all the things that are not listed in the blog posts that are interesting. Right. So,
actually, I have
talked about that.
I have a little clip from, is that the other show? It must be the other show you do with BD Sams.
What's that? Oh, the, by the way, is this a scene in the second one where he's with a little kid and he says something
you gotta go back
like,
to the beginning.
Respect the, so this is, this is my IPA joke. Mary Jo's going to love this.
This. You know what's funny about this is I'm confused about which is the dog and which is you. All right, so picture, if you will, for those of you listening.
I'm talking about Transporter 2 here, by the way.
And the part of the dog will be played by Paul Theroux. The part of Stewie will be played by Brad Sams.
I think there's a scene in the second one where he's with a little kid and he says something like... respect the car and you respect the man. You know, it's like a real silly kind of driver's guy, you know, life mantra thing. So I came up with one for IPAs, which is just say no to IPAs. Respect your mouth. Respect yourself.
You seem very pleased with yourself about this.
I know.
This is so much better. If you would please just do your show as Stewie.
That would be hilarious.
And, I'm still curiously proud of that joke, by the way.
We know.
I was more impressed by the animation, to be honest.
I know. It's
Justin
amazing.
Salvato does those. I don't know how he finds the perfect clip.
I know. It's amazing.
For every moment.
Yeah, because the timing's great. Like, there's even like a little gesture as he delivers the, you know, the punchline.
Yeah, and and then Stewie and Brian laugh.
Yeah, I sent that one to my wife.
That's really
I don't know why, but this makes me really happy.
Yeah, it should. That's immortality, my friend. Yesterday, the United States Supreme Court, a.k.a. SCOTUS.
SCOTUS,
which is really an undignified nickname. But anyway.
It is.
Yeah, it's perfect in many ways.
SCOTUS heard arguments on the Microsoft versus the United States of America. This is the Irish email.
It is.
Case of the Irish email.
It's like a murder mystery.
Sherlock Holmes and the case of the Irish email.
Yes, the moors were foggy this morning.
We were sitting at 22B Baker Street when a curious man knocked on the door. Hello, Governor.
Yes, Mr. Gates.
Oh, I have a problem. My email's stored in Ireland.
Yep, so, it's the magic of software.
The issue is the Department of Justice wants access to emails in an investigation of a drug trafficking case stored on Microsoft servers over there in Dublin, where all the leprechauns live. A federal judge in New York had issued a warrant. Microsoft challenged the order in court, and it is now in front of the Supreme Court of the land.
Yeah, this has gone back and forth literally to every tier of the legal system that exists. And it is now at the pinnacle of that system. So I guess we'll see. But this is not a clear-cut case, right? I mean,
it's not.
You can make great arguments in either direction. And I think the bad part from a technology enthusiast perspective is imagining the chilling effect it would have if the United States government, in effect, ruled that U.S. companies, or that the U.S. government itself can seize data stored in data centers that are physically in other countries.
Now, this, according to Mary Jo Foley's article at ZDNet, could be taken out of SCOTUS's hands, if a SCOTUS has hands, by the United States Congress.
Tiny little
SCOTUS hands. Because there's something called the Cloud Act.
Yep.
What does that do?
Right. So yesterday... you know, so I should say, since the beginning, since 2013, when this case started, Microsoft has been making the argument that, you know what, this shouldn't even be something that's settled by the courts. It should be something that is settled by law. So now there is a bipartisan proposal for a law about this very topic, about how data is governed in the cloud. And so yesterday when they had this hearing, according to the AP and Reuters, who had reporters there, a couple of the justices were saying, you know, why are we even talking about this? Like, shouldn't we just wait and like let this law take effect and have this be decided in Congress instead of by the court? So actually reading these reports about what happened during Microsoft's argument yesterday, it sounds like Microsoft is likely to lose this case. I can't say they will for sure because you never know what's really going to happen. But
yeah, that's my guess too.
I think they're going to lose. And yep. You can kind of see Microsoft setting themselves up to say it's okay because we're going to now count on Congress to govern on this and not the courts.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where we're at with it. The court is supposed to rule on this at the end of June. I don't know when the Cloud Act or how far along the Cloud Act is along the path towards becoming something. But
I think we have video of the Cloud Act attempting to. Oh, no, that's me. I'm sorry. Wrong camera. Like, I apologize.
Cloud. Just clouds.
It was clouds.
Just a bunch of clouds.
So the Cloud Act is good for Microsoft? I mean,
you know, I think what Microsoft, and not just Microsoft, by the way, Amazon, Apple, a lot of the companies in tech, anyone who has something in the cloud are worried about is this whole chilling effect of if the U.S. is allowed to go and seize data, what's going to happen to them in their cloud business, right? I mean, nobody in other countries will want to put data in these clouds because they'll say, right. Wait, your government can steal it.
Already GDPR is requiring that data be stored.
That's right.
In European clouds. And China, you know, Apple just moved the iCloud data and keys to China because they require that.
Right.
I presume Microsoft will do the same with OneDrive.
Yeah, so, you know, Microsoft did an interesting thing a couple of years ago with the German data centers where they actually created data centers in Germany that keep the data there, and they're administered by a third-party data trustee.
Yeah, that's what Apple's going to do in China. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, so they're kind of trying to head this off in multiple ways.
I think this is just what's going to happen, right?
It is. I think.
I don't know if it breaks the internet in a way, but
does anybody know the person in question, who apparently is a suspected drug dealer or something? Is that the deal?
Yeah.
Are they a U.S. citizen?
Yes. I think that's
okay. Why was their data... Okay.
You know this, Mary Jo, more than I do.
I'm trying to think, is the person a U.S. citizen? I can't remember. I think the person is.
Okay. I mean, maybe it doesn't matter. Well, it matters in some ways. But it's fair to say that this person allegedly broke some U.S. law by some activity related to drugs or whatever.
So the case kicked off, this is from Tech Republic, the case kicked off in 2013 when prosecutors obtained a warrant for the emails of a suspect in drug trafficking investigation, which was stored in Dublin. Obviously, if the U.S. is investigating it, it doesn't necessarily mean
resident of Ireland.
So the person is a resident of Ireland.
So he is a resident of Ireland, but the U.S. government's going after him. That explains why the data was in Ireland.
Yeah.
Right.
All right. This is, it's a sticky.
That's interesting. Sticky. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's above and beyond this GDPR thing.
Yeah, this is completely outside of that.
Yeah.
But a lot of people ask this would violate
Microsoft's brief said this would violate GDPR if they were to give this to the U.S. investigators, Department of Justice.
Right.
And it could be penalized in Europe with a fine as much as $3.6 billion for doing so. So that's,
I think if they forwarded that to the U.S. government, they would pay the bill. You know, it's all fair.
Wow, this is really sticky.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah, it's not clear cut at all. No matter what your feelings are about this case, I think anyone would basically agree that there are, there's a case to be made in either direction. I agree with Mary Jo. I think the Supreme Court is going to rule against Microsoft.
It looks like that.
Ruling will take months. I mean,
June, so not that many months, right?
Right.
I mean, it's going to be fairly quick.
So it's
quick.
A race between the Congress and the Supreme Court.
Yeah, I don't know.
This is a huge precedent-setting case, right? I mean, this is going to have amazing ramifications.
It will. Yeah, I'm trying to find out where the Cloud Act is and everything.
If you think about it, this is the cloud provider version of net neutrality. It's basically going to create a situation where only the biggest companies will even be able to afford to be able to meet the requirements of, you know, of preventing this from happening, right? Like, you know, as a U.S. company, I mean, well,
it's
actually,
Cloud Act's in committee right now, by the way, in the Senate, it's in committee.
Okay, there's,
it hasn't been read out of committee yet.
Okay.
Yeah, it's
right. So, Cloud Act, I'm reading about it here. It would enable the U.S. deciding about this whole issue, and will the U.S. be able to obtain data stored on foreign soil after special agreements between the countries?
See, they want a treaty so that they don't get fined.
Yeah.
That's what they want. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's still in committee in the Senate. I don't know. Let me look, see where it's going in the House. But it's, yeah. Hmm.
Yeah. Yes. So Brad Smith, who's president of Microsoft and the chief legal officer there, was the one who spoke in the court. And I had to laugh because it reminded me so much of the DOJ case. At the end, he came out and made a statement, and the statement was kind of like, it was a good day for Microsoft. I mean, he didn't go actually say that, but that's what they used to say every day at the end of the court case for the DOJ. They, no matter how badly it went for Microsoft, to be like, it was a good day for Microsoft. And I kind of felt like yesterday he put a brave face on and said the same thing.
Yeah, it's in committee in the House as well. So it's,
is it?
It's
okay.
I mean, depending on how active Congress gets, it could pass, but right. It's early. It's just been introduced in effect.
Okay.
You know, they're not,
so probably not that close to being approved or not. Yeah. It's going to be bad. I mean, it's not just, like you said, Leo, it's not just for Microsoft. It's for anybody who does business in the cloud. So, I mean, Facebook is a big interest in this, you know, obviously Amazon and Google, everybody is basically on Microsoft's side on this one, as far as tech companies.
Especially if it's counter to European law.
Right.
Because, I mean, this is where you have this weird interlocking jurisdictions and, what a mess.
No, it's a nightmare. Yeah. Yep.
What you want, I guess, if you're Microsoft, is for the law of each country to apply to data stored in that country, and no other country can override that.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't look like what the Supreme Court's going to rule. It's what the lower court ruled.
Right.
Yeah.
The thing, I mean, this is, it's touchy. I mean, one gets the feeling that if there was that treaty in place, that the U.S. Justice Department, whoever, could go to Ireland and say, here's the deal, we're trying to do this.
Right.
And Ireland as a country would probably say yes.
Yeah.
They would release that data, you know, or allow them to release the data. But that's, you know, obviously what they're, Microsoft is trying to fight off government overreach here.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Microsoft has a political agenda. They just don't want to get stuck in the middle and get $1 billion fine.
Well, once this happens, I mean, it opens the floodgates.
But, it looks bad, and, you know, your users want you to protect their privacy. But honestly, I think companies at this point, you know, are acknowledging we're going to have to adhere to the law of the land, whatever that is. Mm. We just want it to be clear. And not cause problems because they don't agree.
Yeah.
What a mess. I don't blame Microsoft for wanting that. This is a messy one.
Yeah.
And, of course, it affects their business. I think that's ultimately what they're worried about, is that people won't use they won't use the cloud. I mean, it's not just going to affect Microsoft. All cloud providers will be subject to this.
Yeah, anybody who, I mean, data is stored all over the world. Like, you, most of the time, you don't even know where your data is. It just because you're here in the U.S. doesn't mean your data's here. Microsoft would partition it up. I mean, Google has actually said, I think, that every message, multiple parts are stored in different data centers in different locations. So it's actually, you know, going to really impact everybody's business because it's so thorny an issue about where is the data.
The solution is full encryption. Trust no one encryption. But then the courts will go, and law enforcement rather, will go after the companies to break encryption or to provide back doors.
It's a mess.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. Speaking of Azure, Apple in their iOS security paper, which they released last month, in the year before, they'd mentioned that they were storing iCloud data on Azure servers. This year, they said on Amazon Web and Google servers, and didn't mention
they change it every year.
Well, you know, I imagine they negotiate deals every year, right?
Yeah. Yeah. This is another one that goes way back. I remember when we were first getting tips on this in 2011, we were getting tips of people saying, guys, psst, part of iCloud is on Azure. And of course, you know, Apple wouldn't talk about it. Microsoft couldn't talk about it because of client confidentiality. Then in 2014, I think it was CRN who discovered the first iteration of this iOS security guide, which said, hey, part of some of the encrypted iOS files are stored in Amazon's S3 and Azure. So there's the confirmation. It was running there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the new version of the same guide just came out this month or last month, and it said, yes, like you just said, some of our data that's encrypted for iCloud is being stored in Amazon and Google Cloud. But the way this is worded in the security guide doesn't mean it's definitely not running on Azure. They just said some third-party storage systems, including blah and blah, right? And I think Brad, Fireman Brad, actually reached out and tried to get people to comment, not on the record, was asking, is Apple still using any part of Azure? And people were telling him yes. I don't know who these people were.
Yeah, so, I was curious if there had been some kind of update on this, because I think they're actually using all three of these things.
I would guess. To some guess that, too.
And I think they're using Spanky's file service and Mega in New Zealand and
exactly.
And Joe's closet server. And I mean, why not use them all, right?
Yeah. And we don't know. So we don't know how much do they use it. I mean, you know, how much data is being stored. We don't know how much they're paying. There's been guesstimates, like I think CRN guessed or had someone tell them, whoa, you know, multiple hundred millions of dollars worth of cloud revenue coming from Apple. But, you know, these days, everybody is everybody's customer. I mean, Amazon pays Microsoft, right? Amazon pays Microsoft for some of the software that runs on its cloud. I mean, they pay licensing fees for Windows Server and SQL Server, right? I mean, to say it's so weird that Apple is using Azure or Apple is using Google Cloud, it's not weird. It's just the way the world is now.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. I mean, Apple does have its own data center. They have a massive data center in North Carolina, at least. And so some of it may even be stored in Apple's cloud.
It could. It should be.
I think this only comes up because Apple feels it is incumbent on it in the iOS security guide to be transparent. I actually applaud them to be transparent on what they're doing with your data.
Yeah. Yep.
So that's good.
It is good.
Yeah. But I think you're right. It doesn't mean a loss for Microsoft.
No.
It's odd that they didn't mention Microsoft.
It is. It is. And, you know, who knows why?
Yeah.
I mean, politics, money, who knows?
Who knows?
The best price.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Who knows? And who knows how they use it? And they don't want to talk so much about that.
No.
I mean, this is Apple, so all this is a countdown until they don't have to rely on third parties.
That's
for this.
Probably the case, right? Yeah.
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 You would, or at least barely have to. Yeah. I mean,
they make money on it. They pay less than you pay them for it. So it's, you know, they made $10 billion in the last quarter on services, if I remember correctly. They're doing fine.
Doing fine. You know who I kind of thought Apple would be using, and maybe they do and they just don't specify, is IBM. IBM's cloud.
Yeah, why not?
Right. I mean, they do a lot of other deals with IBM. Support deals and enterprise deals.
It's
weird
that they would specify explicitly Amazon Web Services and Google.
Google. Yeah.
And not mention anybody else. But who knows? God, you need to.
I know. You don't know why.
You just don't know.
And it could just be maybe they're only talking about the encrypted file storage and there are other parts of the cloud they use for other pieces, right?
I think, you know, these companies are all going to have different strengths in different parts of the world and they would want to take advantage of who has the best presence wherever, you know, and I'm sure Apple is smart about that and. Yeah,
they don't mention they're using Guizhou in China. The company in China is Guizhou, so they don't mention that. So,
sure,
it's just what happens. Let's take a little break, and we'll come back with more. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley. We're talking about Microsoft. If you're interested in working in IT,
still wearing the mustache, huh?
It's growing on me, literally. If you're interested in working on IT. It's funny how a mustache can change your personality. Do you ever have a mustache, Paul?
No, it gets, I get too itchy.
Yeah, I keep trying to grow one and I get itchy, so I stop.
I feel like I could bang it out in a week if I had to. But
oh, I'm sure. You look like a hairy kind of guy. Or Mary Jo.
Just another day for the gong. Where's that gong?
Gong. IT Pro TV was created by Tim and Don, neither of whom have mustaches, but both of whom were IT trainers, really expert in helping people get the certifications and the skills they need. Because it's not just the piece of paper, it's the skills they need to get a great job in IT. I know people now all over the place. Just talking to a friend. His job is not satisfying. He's not doing what he wants to. He's a youngish guy. He's in his early 30s. He's not too late to think about a new career. He's thinking about IT. And no wonder, if you look around the listings for IT positions, there's so many unfilled. There's more than a million unfilled IT security positions alone in the United States. So it is a great job. But you do have to have some skills. Now, I figure you're listening to any of our shows, you are already demonstrated a significant interest in IT, information technology. Now it's time to take it to the next level at IT Pro TV. And there is no better way. It is the most affordable, fun, engaging way to get those certs you need. Go to itpro.tv. I'm typing it in right now. /ww. itpro.tv/ww. And you can take a look at all, take a look at the course lists. What they do is really cool. They do kind of like we do. They have a live channel, 125 hours a week, a lot more than we do, because they have 5 studios now active. And then, so you can watch live as you might watch this show live. If you do, you can be in a chat room, which is awesome. But you can also watch on demand. And, they're accumulating more and more great content all the time. The on-demand stuff now, there's over 3,300 hours of binge-worthy on-demand training in every area. I mean, CEH, the Certified Ethical Hacker courses, those are great. CISA, SQL Server 2016, Azure. There's a number on this. I guess this has to do with something. I don't know. If you're interested, you might know. Azure 70-533, CCNA Security, CompTIA's A+. That's the basic, computer repair cert. If you like getting your hands, into this stuff, you can take these A+ training. But they also have Network Plus, Security Plus, Accelerated Security Plus, Cybersecurity Analyst. Wouldn't that be a great gig? Advanced Security Practitioner. And, of course, everything having to do with Windows, including running Windows servers, maintaining Microsoft Office, networking, security, cloud fundamentals, Windows 10. I can go on and on. In fact, you can find it all if you go to itpro.tv/ww. You can watch on your computer, of course, all these courses stream. But you can also watch, let's go to SQL Server 2014. Let's just take a look at this course. You can also watch on your Roku. They have an Apple TV app. They have Fire TV apps. They have iOS and Android apps. So you can watch in all kinds of ways. You can listen and watch and just kind of absorb. They have a great team portal. You can track your team's results, prove the return on investment of your training spend with IT Pro's supervisor portal. Gives you full control over your team's training schedule. You can create custom groups, training assignments, view logins, viewing time, video downloads, course completion tracking, see individual and group analytics, and even check out their team solution for group pricing. It is truly a wonderful, wonderful course of all kinds. And some great stories. We played this the other day. James Packer, I love his his accent.
Urquhart Hess, based in the Cayman Islands. We look after IT for banks, governments, and
in the tropical paradise
organizations around the Caribbean.
Thanks to training that he got from IT Pro TV, which is awesome. Used it for a little. Go watch the video. If you want to know more about the team solution, you can contact them for a team trial for free, including their supervisor portal at itpro.tv/ww, or sign up for an individual monthly membership. You'll get a free 7-day trial. If you use the code WW30 at itpro.tv/ww, you'll get 30% off your subscription. 30% off, and not just for the first month or year, but forever, for the lifetime of your active subscription. Join the more than 90,000 IT Pro TV members who are taking courses right now, today. Find out more at itpro.tv/ww. Use the offer code WW30. To save 30% off your lifetime subscription. Flexible training, binge-worthy content, ROI proven. itpro.tv/ww. We thank them so much for their support of Windows Weekly and for making a bunch of great geeks out there. I've talked to people all the time. Almost half the people who come in our studio to visit tell me about
three geeks.
Yeah, they're all geeks or spouses.
Only
geeks.
Half, Leo?
Half of them. No, half of them say, you know, but maybe, I don't know, like at least half the people who come in to watch this show and Security Now say, oh, yeah, IT Pro TV, I take courses there. I love them. Back to Windows Weekly, Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley, and Fear and Loathing in Developer Land. So every time we talk about progressive web apps, and I am still bullish. We talked on Tuesday about it, though, on Mac Break Weekly, and I don't think Apple, for competitive, I fully believe for anti-competitive reasons, Apple's going to do this, which really kind of defeats the whole purpose, because the whole idea of progressive web apps is it be completely cross-platform. What I want to do, for example, is write a progressive web app for our Twit content.
Yeah.
Yeah. That you go to the website on your iOS or Android phone or your Windows phone or whatever the heck you're on Windows. You go there and then...
You want it in the store. You want it...
It's everywhere.
And you, so let me give you a real world example, because my wife, you know, we moved to Pennsylvania last year. I was talking to my wife about baseball. The season's coming up. You know, how are we going to handle it this year? We've always watched the Red Sox. It was kind of cool because
is a problem.
We had good local announcers. We really like that. And I said, you know, do you want to just watch whatever's on TV? And she says, no, I want to watch the Red Sox. I said, all right, well, MLB TV has a season's pass thing, and you can sign it up for
$250.
Just the actually, it's a lot cheaper than that if you just want to follow one team.
Oh,
it's
okay.
$90 or something.
Oh, that's
so
worth it.
She said, yeah, just let's do that. And it's a neat service, as you might know. You can watch the local broadcast, so I can actually see the guys from Boston telecasting game. We've already watched a couple of preseason games. Normally, we wouldn't bother, but we're kind of excited just to – you know, get over the Super Bowl. So anyway, MLB TV is available on all kinds of things. You know, there's an Apple TV app. It's on mobile devices and all this kind of stuff. But because I had signed up for it on Windows, I thought, well, they must have a Windows Store app or a Microsoft Store app. Let me go find that thing. And actually, they don't. They used to, by the way. Back in Windows 8 days, they had created a Windows 8 version of it. It doesn't work anymore. They don't even provide it if you have Windows 10. So I thought, you know, that's really strange. Like, It's kind of a shame, right? Because this is the app was probably web-based. They probably did some kind of web, you know, they had web technologies in Windows 8 for store apps. I'm sure that's all it was. You know, curious. So what's the solution? The solution is you can watch MLB TV on the web still, like it still works, right? So that's just one example of one service, but I don't know what the situation is on the Mac, but let's say they don't have a Mac App Store app. They probably don't. I don't know. But if you're on a Mac or a PC and you want to watch Major League Baseball games, you can still do it on the web. And I guess my answer to you on PWAs is that will always be the case as well. Safari will support all the technologies behind PWAs. Those apps will still work in browser tabs. I realize it's not as seamless and elegant as having kind of an app in your dock or whatever. But, you know, I think most people today, and Microsoft even talks about this, you know, spend over 50% of their time in Windows on the web. I mean, a lot of people, I don't do this personally, but a lot of people probably have a web browser open with tabs for their email, their calendar, their Twitter.
Here's my use case. Mm-hmm. I make a special site, mobile.twit.tv. You go to in your browser, desktop, whatever.
Yep.
It then downloads bits of code. It has service workers, and now it works offline. So it's right. now a podcast app.
Yeah.
You could subscribe yeah. to our shows. They'll download. It'll still work offline. You could subscribe, and when you next get online, it will activate that subscription. It is a full app that works offline. And that's yeah, something that doesn't work unless
no, you're right. Yeah, I mean, yeah, no,
the service
I'm
workers not, are provided.
So, yes, and on a plat that would probably matter more on iOS than macOS, but whatever, you know, however you choose to listen to podcasts in this case, yes, if you're on a plane and you want to listen to a podcast and that's the thing you've chosen, that thing's not going to work.
Right.
You know, yeah.
So right. you know, if you use a podcast app, that's what it does. It downloads when it's online, but it has yeah. the stuff on your phone offline. The app continues to work. You can subscribe to things and so forth.
So, I'm not here to solve everyone's exact problem, but I mean, I think from that perspective, if you're a developer of an app of some kind, this podcast app,
that's the promise of PWAs is that it's right.
It is an ideal, right? Not necessarily a reality yet. I think in that case, the Apple ecosystem is so big that it's PWA still is an advantage because you get it to work everywhere else. And then if you have to make an iOS app, you're still doing a lot less work than you might have had to do in the old days. Or in the old days, you might have said, well, I'm going to support Android and iOS, and I'll have two separate teams probably that make two separate apps, and we have to keep them in sync and everything. But you don't get the web and you don't get Windows. And by going PWA on the Android side, you do at least get that advantage. Right. And I think it's easier to keep those things in sync. So
it's better than nothing.
It's still better. And I still, you know, I agree with you, Apple, the potential there is
iOS
good for
is so
them not
huge
to
in the United States. It's such a big part mm-hmm. of the market that if Apple, and Apple won't, by the way, I mean, it's obvious they're not going to, because they want to lock you into Apple. They have no desire in making anything cross-platform. They don't want their developers to write Android apps or Windows apps. They have zero desire.
When you flash to that, whatever the other show was, we had that Altos Odyssey, whatever that game is. There's actually a fascinating interview with the guys who made that game. I think it's on Ars Technica that's worth reading. And what they talk about is the differences between the iOS market or the Apple world and the Android world. And how you monetize differently in the two different platforms because the audiences are so different. So I think, you know, again, you know, if you think about Apple as kind of a
they're going to
premium
join us,
experience.
By the way, on iOS today on Tuesday. So
what's
I will.
Those guys are. Yeah, I was going to ask them about this. Yeah, this is actually really interesting.
Yeah.
So those guys are an Apple shop from day one, and they have another group that helps them do the Android conversion. They don't know a lot about that world, but they were saying that it's really interesting because it's a much bigger audience, but they're much less inclined to spend, you know, $5, whatever the cost is for a game. But what they would do is download the free game and do a kind of a freemium thing where they can pay for little things in the app and they can monetize it that way. And that the Android world and the Apple world are just different. They're just, it's just a different audiences, different styles of doing things, whatever. So, you know, in the podcast example, or you could pitch a different app types. Like, I still think it's better, you know, to go the PWA when possible. There are going to be tools that will help you get a PWA into iOS, into the store. I mean, we already have these kinds of things. It may still be way better than the alternative.
But not everything it promises.
No, I no. I mean,
the promise is so great.
Yeah.
If it would, if Apple wouldn't be so piggy.
Let's see what happens. WWC is coming. I would be shocked if they didn't at least mention it.
Well, they have this. What they're going to mention is Marzipan. We talked about this mm-hmm. on Tuesday, which is their cross. That's not cross-platform. Well, it is and it isn't. It's Mac OS and iOS development. That's mm-hmm. what they're going to push. They don't want anybody to develop for any other platform, mm-hmm. and that's not good for consumers. It's good for Apple, but that's the way it is. It's not good for developers. It's not good for consumers. It's good for Apple.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, so this week at Mobile World.
I'm all in favor for it. I love PWA. Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing what Microsoft Talks says about it, frankly.
I come at this from kind of a Microsoft perspective, right? The reason PWA is so important is that without this, Windows just gets left behind, right? If developers are going to have to create native apps, they're going to choose iOS and Android, and that's going to be the end of it. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And this at least makes Microsoft and Windows part of the story. And Microsoft has contributed to the platform by introducing the notion of desktop apps, by introducing the notion of them being in the store. And now Google is following suit, right? So Google is adding support for PWAs to Chrome OS. And they have told Microsoft that they intend at some point in the future to put them in the store as well, into the Google Play Store, probably after that conversion occurs or that, what do we call it, migration. But they're looking at that. And so that's neat. So here's Google and Microsoft working together. Honestly, I think we can all agree, given history, that's amazing. But, you know, there's the thing that I think people are confused about with this kind of stuff is that when you look at any developer technology, you have to kind of think about who they target within the developer world and what the audience is. You know, on the Microsoft side, I talk a lot about kind of the Microsoft stack developers, the .NET guys, the guys who have come up in the Microsoft world, and they're maybe working in C# and in Visual Studio. And Microsoft provides those guys with ways to kind of move forward. And one of the things I think we'll see at Build is their kind of formal plans for getting those guys into the PWA space. We know from the past, the way they got those guys into the mobile space was Xamarin, which they bought. And it is a very familiar set of APIs, and you use C#, and it works just like what they're used to in .NET and Visual Studio. So that's nice. But there's these other things that come from other directions. Microsoft does a lot of work to bring code from the web with hosted web apps in the past and PWA going forward into the store, to bring desktop apps into the store, to bring mobile apps from Android into the store. they got rid of that one, to bring iOS apps into the store. There's different directions that these technologies head to. So one of the things that happened this week at Mobile World Congress was Google announced the beta version of something called Flutter. And Flutter is yet another, set of, APIs, for lack of a better term, for making what I think of as a write once, run everywhere kind of a thing. We make an app and it works on both iOS and Android. And, they have native look and feel and all that kind of stuff, and they support all the features of the OS. And so, of course, a lot of people are like, what's going on here?
That's what I said to you. I remember I saw it and I was like, wait, what? So they're going to also support people doing native apps plus PWAs? And the answer is yes, right?
These are targeting two different kinds of audiences, right? Mm-hmm. PWA is a way for people who have been developing in the web space, or people who are going to come on board to create what I think of as native-ish apps that run across multiple platforms, right? It's for web developers. Flutter is for mobile app developers. And like I said, those game developers, for example, but whoever, you've got some team of people or teams of people who are working on mobile apps that have to run in two or more different platforms, tip two in mobile. That's typically two groups of people. You need two teams. This is a way to have one team of people, maybe be able to make one app that runs on both. And that makes a lot of sense. It doesn't, it doesn't remove the need for PWA. It's for a different audience. It's for a different market as well in some ways too. So, the way I think of it is like PWA is the future. The future is not certain. I mean, I don't mean to suggest like, it doesn't mean everything else just disappears. But I would say that Flutter solves a very real problem that we have right now if you're a mobile developer,
somebody in the chat room just gave me a link to a article that came out last week, a month ago actually, that says iOS 11.3 has service workers.
They're adding it to Safari. Yeah.
Well, I take it back. I was wrong. Apple, I thank you. That's really interesting. Okay. Mm-hmm. So maybe there is a bright future ahead.
The future, it's uncertain. Things are going to change, whatever. But Microsoft's embrace of PWA has been very interesting to me. We all see how that stuff works on Android today. Just the ability to pin. I've been talking about this for years. This was a tip I probably had at Windows Weekly 5 or 7 years ago. The ability to pin an app, like a web app, from Chrome to the Windows taskbar, it just by itself. I mean, this has nothing to do with offline use or actual PWAs and all that kind of stuff. But even that is just it's just kind of an amazing thing. It just opens. You can kind of see the possibilities. And so when they start talking about PWAs and providing native-like capabilities offline, of course, push notifications and so forth. Mm-hmm. On Windows, you can be able to have live tiles that actually are live. The ability to find apps in the store, which is kind of cool. It's the opposite situation on Android when you think about it. In a store like the Windows Store, the Microsoft Store, putting apps there makes tons of sense because there isn't like a volume of apps there that makes high quality apps hard to find. When you go to the Google Play Store or the iOS Store, unless you've got like a special relationship with Google or Apple, I mean, the chances of your app, no matter how good it is, rising to the top there is actually very difficult. So web discoverability is way more important on iOS and Android, I would argue, than it is on Windows. Although, you know, both will be available hopefully everywhere.
Interesting. Well, you've given me great hope, Mr. Theros, for the future of our land. Flutter. It's going to be interesting because June is Google I.O., WWDC is in May, and of course, Build, as you said, was right before I.O., May.
Yeah. So, also in May.
So yeah. All of this is going to come to a head soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Let's get some more Andromeda silliness. Your words, not mine.
Well, I feel like every week there's a new patent pitcher, and then people get excited about whatever they want to call it this week. Andromeda, service phone, whatever. So this one, I guess, is the detachable one. I think I try not to look at this stuff too closely. I just want to say, I have to mention it because people will ask if we don't.
Right.
This is like the topic of discussion du jour in our little world. And, guys, come on. let's just see what happens here. Surface devices already have this ability to detach and attach and to use magnets and, whatever. And Andromeda will or will not happen, and we'll see. I mean, if I'm going to throw anyone a bone, I will just say that this PWA thing we were just talking about, if successful, is what could make an Andromeda-type device actually start to make sense. Because the big failing of this thing is the big failing with Windows Mobile. It was the big failing with Windows Phone. It's kind of the big failing with Windows 10, if you look at it just from a store perspective, which is that there just isn't the variety and quality of apps there that you need to make this platform make sense. It doesn't matter how good the hardware is if there aren't apps. And there are billions of apps on iOS and Android, and there are 17 or 8, whatever the numbers are, who knows? It doesn't matter, but it's just not the same thing. And you can't just show up with something and say, hey, look, it's pretty. It can't just be that.
Right.
And it is
I think
pretty.
people get excited about this patent in particular because the one clue we know about Andromeda, whatever this device ends up looking like or working like, is it's all about the hinge, just like Surface Studio was, right? Like, it's even some of the same people who patented the hinge on Surface Studio who are working on some of these other patents for these kinds of hinges. So, it gives people hope that, like, it's happening, it's a real thing. Look at, they're patenting all these things with the cool hinge and the interesting way it can detach, because it seems like a big part of Surface's MO is you can detach something from a device.
Listen, if this device happens, the only thing I request of Microsoft is they make a commercial with that click it guy.
Oh,
and he
dances
around. Clicking and unclicking. Remember that was the big thing in the ad.
Yeah.
That's all I want.
Yeah. Clicking. I think it's going to happen. I think the device is going to happen. The question to me is the when. And I hopefully, given that they killed the Surface Mini before, they've realized, like, even if a device is super cool and, like, intriguing to the fans, you still have to have a real reason for it to exist. So is it going to be this year? Is it going to be next year? Who knows?
There it is. I have to express some doubt that they have that sense. You can make an argument that the Surface laptop does not satisfy that need and they ship that thing anyway, right? I happen to love it, but let's face it, it's just another laptop.
God, that's
all click.
Yep, there it is. It clicks. It is, everybody. Andromeda.
This is all I'm looking for in a laptop. Clicking.
Yep, just make that thing 2/3 smaller and you've got Andromeda.
Well, as long as we're talking, the HP has this WOA machine they announced at Mobile World Congress.
WOA. Yes,
WOA. HP calls it the always connected PC.
Right. Yeah, well, that's Microsoft the Microsoft marketing
that's
term.
That's the technical. Does it click?
No. The keyboard cover, such as it is, kind of folds around it. It's kind of a unique way of doing it. I don't know if there's a click in there. Maybe there's a click. There's probably a magnet.
running on a Snapdragon, Qualcomm Snapdragon 835 LTE.
Yeah, so the kickstand is built into the keyboard cover, not into the device, which was the case with previous versions of this kind of thing. Oh. So it kind of just sits in there. But yeah, there's probably a magnetic aspect to it.
It has to be pogo pins of some kind, right?
You think? Yeah, maybe. Yeah, not Bluetooth. Yeah, probably.
But it wouldn't. Yeah, it's not. Yeah, huh. Maybe not.
Anyway, it doesn't matter because this thing costs $1,000, and who in their right mind would ever purchase such a device?
Well, what's wrong with that? I don't.
Because its competitors are going to be priced at about $699, and when that price was announced, people said it was too high.
So people are seeing this as like Windows RT almost, like a low cost.
Yeah. It's
Right. Four gigs of RAM.
I was okay with $699. I think there's a case that can be made for that price point. $999, there's no case. That's ridiculous. And the issue is that from a performance perspective, this thing is probably closer to like a Y series or a Core M3 kind of a chip. Like she said, 4 gigs of RAM. It's probably 64 gigs of storage at most. No.
I was surprised when I saw the
price. Surface laptop. That's too much money.
Yeah, and it's going to be, it's coming out soon. It's shipping as of March 9th. You can already pre-order it. I mean, it's, it's here.
Should we get one just to look at it? I mean.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is the first Windows 10 on ARM PC, apparently. So, yeah, I mean, it's interesting in that capacity. The big thing
they're
that
they're saying 22 hours of battery life.
Wow.
Yeah, so battery life's going to be great. Everyone I talk to who has one of these, or one of any of these types of devices, has said the same thing, like that this is life changing somehow. You know, I don't find it that difficult to charge, you know, every night. I mean, we do that with our phones, whatever, but they've said this again and again, many different people. The big question here, of course, is the performance. And different things. There.
Four gigs is enough to perform. Okay. It's storage to me. It's like, well, that's so
little storage. Remember that. The thought here is that with this kind of gigabit LTE, this is going to be the beginning of a new age of connectivity. And I have a little note about 5G. You know, Intel's getting into the 5G game because everyone is. The way that Qualcomm described 5G was that 5G is so fast that you can access your data in the cloud at the same speed as if it were on the local SSD. It removes that barrier. It's already good enough for most people. Right. But the ability to download like a 4K movie in some tens of seconds, whatever the exact figure is amazing. But it's just the seamless nature of the connectivity with, you know, to your data is the big deal.
It does
so,
have a micro SD slot. So I guess you could put a micro SD
but
256 gigs of additional storage.
This will probably, you know, I don't know. What is it? Do you see if it was 32 or 64?
Storage?
Oh, the storage, yeah. Was there a... Let me look. There must have been a list somewhere.
22 hours battery. Up to
250. All right. So, well, you know, who knows what the... Well, I guess we could find out.
Let's find out. Let's buy it.
You can pre-order
base? It's 128.
Now.
So, by the way, 128 is great. That's great.
Yeah. That's sufficient.
It's UFS. UFS is not great, but that's the type of storage you would get in a phone.
If I add an micro SD card, does that show up as a D drive? Or how does that,
yeah,
I guess?
Yeah. So you can't, it's funny, it said up to 256 SSD. That suggests that at some point there will be a more expensive version that has faster storage.
Let's go look at my cart and see what I got.
See, I feel like at this price, you should get 8 gigs of RAM. You know, and I honestly, in a system that might have performance problems, extra RAM would help a lot.
Would this be a good, if it'd be for a student? Right? On the go, somebody?
So my issue again is the RAM. It's the same issue I had with the base Surface laptop that as they advertised it back in last May. A system with 4 gigs of RAM and 120 gigs of storage, it's not so much the storage, it's the RAM, is not necessarily future-proof for the 4 years plus that you would be in college.
Right.
And I look at this machine, it's an unknown, so we can't really say for sure on the performance. But I would be concerned about that. And I'm also slightly concerned that part of the battery life claim is based on the fact that these things do ship with 4 gigs of RAM. In other words, if you added more RAM to this, the battery life would go down. So
they also ship with Windows 10S, my friend.
Yeah, but I could upgrade it, right? Or not. Is it a free upgrade?
Yes. You can.
That streamlined version of Windows we all love so much.
That's part of the battery claim too,
right?
I would bet.
Yeah.
Well, would you like me to buy it just to give you some information?
Yes, I would. Yes.
Well, now it's saying on their site, ships by 3/16. I thought it was supposed to be 3/9.
Yeah, it's a week later. Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe it's a supply issue.
Yeah.
Maybe so many people are buying them. No.
Yeah. I think this platform is a good idea. I get why they're doing it. I don't know. If you're talking like 16 to 22 hours of battery life, I'm not sure what the difference is there, frankly. I'd rather have 8 gigs of RAM. I don't care about the storage. 128, I'd be okay with. You know, 4 gigabytes of RAM should be $6.99, 8 gigs for, you know, whatever, $8.99 or something. This price is just too expensive.
Yeah.
For what you get. Doesn't mean it won't.
And, let me bring it up. So $1,000, right? I mean, what can you get for $1,000? So you can get a Surface laptop. Now, that's not the version I have. The version I have is probably $12.99. But where are my notes? Battery life notes. So battery life. Surface laptop got 13 hours of battery life. That's for 8 gigs and I think 256. Mm. I'm sorry, for my needs, I'm going to go with that. You know, I get that it's 2/3 the battery life, but the performance is on another plane altogether. And the future proofness of that, if you will, is much more certain.
Well, I'm going to get one. I think we should review it. We should see what WoWA looks like.
I want to see how the emulation works. How that works.
Yeah. What I hear is that it's slow at first and then it kind of kicks in.
Emulation of what?
You can run 132 apps on it.
Oh. Well, they've rejected my... rejected it. They said I have to call somebody. I don't know what. Yeah. I don't know what's going on.
Does it really say that?
Yeah. It didn't want me to buy one.
The other thing I'm a little curious of is, you know, the other aspect of this is the eSIM thing.
A salesman. And,
how that works in Windows.
Please contact a sales agent. Do you think that's so they can tell me, you don't really want this at this price? Mm-hmm. We'd like you to buy a different HP.
We heard you trashing this thing online with Therat, and we're not going to sell you one.
I can try a different credit card. Although this one is our company card.
It's a pretty little machine for whatever it's worth. I mean, I've always liked the NVX2.
It comes with a pen too, right?
I want to try one.
I think so.
I do. Well, is it lappable, my friend Paul?
You might want to go with the laptop form factor one, not the NVX2, the Asus, whatever it's called. Although that was, the Asus was kind of pedestrian looking to me. And then what did there was a Lenovo as well, but I can't recall what that even looked like.
They all looked kind of generic when you saw pictures of them, right? I mean.
Yeah, the HP is the best looking one.
The nicest looking one. Yeah.
It is nice looking. I mean, I'm not dumping on the quality.
No, I know. But,
It's just the starting price is too much. This is too much of an unknown to spend that much money. Mm-hmm. Do you remember you bought a Surface RT? What did that thing start at? Do you remember?
It was a lot.
Yeah,
I think
$799.
Yeah, and then you had to buy the keyboard cover.
Right.
Yeah. So it's about the same price.
At least
really,
comes with the keyboard and the pen even.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you know what else comes with the keyboard? A laptop. So I mean, it should be included. That should be part of it.
I'm going to try a different. I do think we should review it. I feel like.
Yeah. I would like to hear what you guys think.
If they will let me buy one, I will.
I want to see, there's going to be performance benchmarks, which will be interesting. There's going to be just real world performance evaluations, which will be interesting. Real world battery, which will be interesting. And then over time, I don't know how we measure this kind of thing, but the uptime thing. I've been paying more attention to my own laptops, and you kind of leave them sitting without power for days or even weeks. And you open the lid and see how they're doing. In most cases, it's actually not horrible, but absolutely, those things are draining into the other as they sit there.
Yep.
And then you have to pay for a monthly SIM card, right? I mean,
Of course, yeah, that's the other thing. Yeah.
It's
like an HOA in a house. You don't really ever own it. just keep
I'm
on paying.
If you might, it might be smarter to buy it from a carrier. I imagine the carriers would subsidize it a little bit, right?
Yeah.
I don't think you can buy it at a carrier. It's going to be for sale at Microsoft stores and some of the online places like HP.
So that's an issue until they offer it.
I don't think Verizon is selling the machine.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure.
Well, you know what I presume I can do is put a Google Fi SIM in it, and that actually is fairly inexpensive data.
Mm. Yep.
Now, who's going to have 5G? Because that's you just described what I really would like.
Yeah. Who's going to have 5G? Yeah. Well, this year, nobody. But, you know, Qualcomm is working on 5G. Huawei is working on 5G. Intel said they're working on 5G.
You have to get a 5G-capable computer. This is not, I presume.
No. No, that's like a
845, 835.
It's probably gigabit LTE.
Yeah, right.
It's eSIM. Yeah, it's not even swappable. Like, it's built in.
Yeah.
So the first 5G-capable devices won't happen until next year. Probably around this time next year is when they'll be announced. And that's based on what Intel said. So, I mean, I would trust Intel pretty much less than anybody when it comes to this kind of thing. But I think that's Qualcomm indicated that by the end of this year, when they have their next big event, they will probably at that time announce their first 5G modem, which will appear in a Snapdragon 855 or whatever in the spring of 2019. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be next year.
And then, of course, the carriers have to roll it out. And there's Sprint. I see Sprint and T-Mobile both, jawing at each other, doing a lot of back and forth over who's going to have it, who's really going to have it.
That's important because those two will compel the actual carriers, Verizon and AT&T, to show up and do it as well.
Right. Okay. Okie dokie.
We can skip all this Mobile World Congress stuff if you want. It's kind of...
No, I think it's interesting. I think you liked the S9, right?
Yeah, I am going to order one. I do have the feeling that Samsung is all we have between Apple and Oblivion. Like, they're...
They were very careful. They were very clear to distinguish themselves from Apple several times in the keynote. Notch. We have headphone jacks. Things like that.
I the thing that's interesting to me about Samsung is that a year ago-ish, they announced the S8, and they had this kind of real nice small bezel, curved display kind of thing, 18.5:9 aspect ratio. Everyone's doing it. But no one has copied that kind of curved screen bit, not to the degree that Samsung does it. And they don't just have the curved screen. They also have UIs that they can bring up that are unique to those devices. I think that stuff is cool. And so a year later, no one has copied that, which is amazing to me. And so it's allowed them to kind of focus on other things that are important to smartphone buyers in the flagship space. Of course, the big one is camera. So I'm smartphone cameras are literally my number one criteria. This is something I'm very, very interested in personally. They're going with two lenses on the S9 Plus. They have, they have the automatic aperture change, which is, first and something you don't see in the smartphone space, just like when I don't know if Apple was first, but Apple has 2x optical zoom that they announced a year and a half ago. You don't see a lot of that for some reason. I don't know what's going on there, but I really enjoy seeing smartphones take on these kind of point and click camera kind of features. I'm excited about the S9.
I want to hear about it too, because I'm going to be in the market for a new Android phone soon. So
yeah. Are you on Google Fi or do you use something else?
I use Verizon.
Okay. So you'll be
awesome. Verizon will have
easy.
Yeah. You can pre-order it soon, any day now.
Yeah. If this is good enough, I'm going to switch off. Which, Fi, by the way, going to be a nightmare.
Is more than I can say for the HP Envy.
Yeah, twice now.
Two different credit cards.
You
can't get it. I'm wondering
if... You know what it is? You got to use the Edge browser, Leo. That's why.
Okay. I'll try it. I tried it with Chrome and Safari. I've tried it with two different credit card numbers. I think they're maybe not taking orders yet.
I tried to... I can't say this now because it's a tip. But I tried to do something earlier today and couldn't in Chrome. And I said, what the heck? I'll just do it with Edge. Who knows? And actually, it did work.
Oh, I do that a lot. You think, it's not... They want some other browser.
Yeah.
It might be as simple as I have some kind of weird plugin that is screwing something up in the process.
Yeah. Oh, well. I tried. Yep. Are you going to get the Neo Banana phone from Nokia?
No, because I'm not a hipster, Leo.
I want that phone. It's the one that Neo uses in the Matrix to get out of his office. Yeah. It snaps open.
Yeah, but you know what nobody uses a phone for anymore these days?
Phone calls.
The notion of putting a phone into my head. Yeah, no, I know. That's interesting. I think it's the type of thing people are going to buy and put it up on a shelf as like a curio.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. It's almost like a little
hipster. It's only $99 bucks. Though,
yeah.
So, yeah. I loved it. Maybe you saw this, the Asus Zen phone. They mm-hmm. said they have a notch. They said yes. The notch is 26% smaller than Fruit Phone X.
Nice. Yeah.
I feel like a moral obligation to never buy a phone from a company that does something like that. I really.
Yeah, that's just lame. That's pathetic.
It's terrible. It's just like the lowest of the low.
Yeah.
You know, no feature is too dumb not to copy. Here's some proof.
I have to say, HP has actually created some real demand in me now to get this NV2X.
You're like, I'm getting it.
Damn you, HP. You're thwarting me.
That's weird. You can't get it. It's really weird.
Yeah, maybe it's too. I'll try ordering it later in the day. Maybe maybe they're not.
They're overwhelmed by demand.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's the ticket.
Just like build.
I have to say, though, I like the idea of something super portable, 22-hour battery life, always connected.
How do you feel about small screens?
Is it really small? Is it 11 inches?
I think it's a 12. It's got to be a 12.5.
Really, if I'm going to choose a computer, it's going to be a Lenovo.
I know. That's exactly. That's 14 inches, by the way.
That is a bad thing.
I asked Lenovo, and I asked PC makers this. I've heard different things, but I asked them. I said, look at your display. You've got room in there to go 3x2. Why don't you do that? And the guy who designs these things told me they desperately want to do that, but no one is making those parts.
Oh.
And
that's
interesting. They agree totally. They what he said was they resisted the push to 16x10 and then 16x9
and then 16
and held on to 4x3 panels for as long as they could. They went 16x10 next because it was kind of on the way, and then they had to go 16x9. And he says, listen, if we could get someone to make those for us,
3x2 is better for products.
They would do 3x2.
I mean, if you're going to watch movies all day, okay, but
yeah, but come on, seriously, I know. It's a laptop. I mean. So I was so happy to hear him say that because this verifies everything I've ever thought about 3x2. Like and it's one of the things I really like, and one of the many things I like about the Surface laptop. For all its problems, the screen is beautiful.
Yeah, this Envy is it? It is 12 inches. Is it 6x9? Or is, I mean,
I believe it's 3x2. I bet it's 3x2.
I think it's a nice form factor. I really do. I really like it on the Surface.
Yeah. Well, people, it makes sense on a tablet 2-in-1 because when you flip it to portrait, it doesn't get that elongated effect, right? Which is nice. But I still think 3x2 makes sense just in a laptop form factor. It's just better for productivity apps. These are when you're reading, you need that kind of, you know, you don't want to look at it like it's not a Sergio Leone Western. You want the, you know, right? No, I mean, that kind of form factor just doesn't make sense for productivity.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. All right, why don't we do the back of the book? I'll continue to try to buy a laptop.
Yes.
I'll try to give my $1,000 to HP. I'll continue to try while Paul Thurrott does our tip of the week.
Yeah, so every month at the beginning of the month, I mentioned that Games with Gold is renewed. It's this today as we record this. It's actually the 20th of February, but for some reason, those games for March are now available. So if you're listening to this live, you can go to Xbox.com and find those, well, two of the four games, the first two. Those are available.
Oh, wait a minute. What's this?
Oh, did I link to the wrong thing?
I clicked the wrong link. I'm excited.
Oh, I didn't provide a link. So the other one is if you are a second-class citizen running Call of Duty on Xbox One, like I am, good news, because the first DLC, the map pack, is coming out, I think, on Friday. It's coming out, actually, it might be tomorrow, March 1st. March 1st or March 2nd. So it's coming out this week.
And you can play in the Resistance.
Yeah, there's only three. Like, there's three multiplayer maps. One of them is a remake of an awesome Paris map from Modern Warfare 3. There's a new war mode map, and there's a new zombies experience. Mostly, I'm concerned with these three maps because I spend so much time in this game. I'm surprised I'm still married, but I'm excited that this is finally happening because I'm really getting tired of this. Whatever it is, six or
this
seven.
This actually looks really fun. I'd love to play.
Yeah, that's
Resistance.
The remade map right there, yeah. Which is literally called. I think it was literally called Resistance at the time.
Yeah.
Excellent. Here's so I'm really
Russia,
looking forward
you're
to this.
In Russia on this one, fighting for the Soviets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, this game has
Stephanie
some goofy.
Ever played? Has Stephanie ever played Call of Duty?
No, she can't stand this kind of thing.
I just was curious. Okay, good.
If I have this game going, like my daughter will watch TV in the next room and she'll just quietly walk in my room and close the door. So she doesn't have to hear it.
Yeah.
Plus, it doesn't help that I have kind of a Tourette's thing when I'm playing video games. But
what, you swear a little?
Oh yeah. I spend a lot of my time, you know, screaming at screens. When you think about it, like whether it's you know Windows or Xbox or whatever. Yeah,
it's an occupational hazard.
It's a big part of my experience.
Yeah.
And then I've got two app picks. Both of these are actually just updates to existing apps, but they're great. So the Grammarly keyboard, which is available for iOS and Android, was updated on Android.
We use that.
I strongly recommend this thing. Really, really cool.
Gee, and I would think as a writer, you would say, oh, I don't need this.
Oh, no, I need this. I need this desperately. And actually, I need it more than ever in many ways because on Windows, at least, I am now writing in what is basically a text editor. And so when I post stuff to the web, it does have some basic spell checking or whatever. But this thing also does grammar checking. And it's kind of nice to have that check before I post anything. But, you know, it works on Twitter because I use a web app. It works in my email program because it's a web app. And so it's nice to, you know, didn't catch the email I sent to the Microsoft person today instead of Mehdi. But that's not what it's designed to do. It's like, are you sure you want to send this email to someone who's not Mehdi? Would have been nice. But anyway, I believe I've ironed that one out. Anyway, Grammarly for Android was just updated. I assume the iOS one will be updated soon. Did you get the purchase?
I just got the HP Envy. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
The other thing is.
Let's just say your date is for shipment.
Let's see.
And when it's ready.
I didn't get expedited shipping. I feel like.
We're cooking them as fast as we can, Leo.
Does it say? Shipment status, delivery, 3/16 will be the ship date.
Yeah,
that's what they were saying, yeah.
So that must be, what, the end of the next 2 weeks?
And I can exchange it for up to 30 days. So if it really is horrible, I guess I would exchange it. But on the other hand, I like the idea.
I don't think it's going to be horrible. I just think it's too expensive for what it is.
120, what did we say, 256? Takes a micro SD card so you can get it.
8 gigs and 256, $9.99. I have no problem with
that. Should have
4
gigs,
128, $6.99, maybe $7.99.
No, I think it's 256.
You think the one you got is?
I thought it was. They didn't have any options.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know. You know what? Who cares?
Yeah, whatever.
Who cares? That's Qualcomm Adreno Graphics. 12.3-inch WUXGA multi-touch edge-to-edge Gorilla Glass, 1920 by 1280, 4 gigs of RAM, 128
gigs. Wait, what? 1920 by 1080?
Yeah. Is that bad?
See, that's not 3 by 2.
No, that's 16 by 9.
Yeah. Right? That's curious.
No, I misread. 1280. 1920 by 1280. It is 3 by 2.
Okay. I was going to say, that's curious for a 2
in 1. Yeah. And 128 gig UFS, you're right.
Yeah.
It won't be fast, but it probably won't feel slow.
Well, you're going to be able to tell us in about 2 weeks. Yeah. So.
You know, what's cool is I could put a bunch of movies on a micro SD card, put it in there. That'd be great for the plane. 22 hours. Yep. It says 19 hours of video playback.
I know. If the battery life pans out on
if
this.
That's true. Right.
Yeah. We'll see.
I'm going to use it on my way to Japan. I'm going to play Age of Empires the whole way.
When are you going to Japan?
Wait, you're going to Japan?
And why is everyone going to Japan but me?
It's the future.
I love Japan.
I can't wait. Yeah, we're going April 19th through May 5th. We're going for the cherry blossoms.
The best.
The Sakura Festival. Yeah.
Really? I'm going to make this happen. This is really eating
at me. It's so
great.
You know, if I were you, I'd go to China.
I want to go there too.
I've been a little bit to Japan, but China is just it's the future. I think for good or ill, but it's the future. I mean, I think they're moving more towards an authoritarian. You know, now the president is president.
That is
for
certainly
life.
The future, Leo. So you have a point.
Well, as democracy and capitalism decline, I think
goes out with a whimper.
Yeah. Bye bye. Bye bye.
Speaking of a whimper.
Microsoft Edge for iOS.
So that was also recently updated with support for 3D Touch. So if you have a modern Apple device, I think that's like iPhone 7 and newer, and the newer iPads and iPad Pros and things. I think, you know, you can press on the screen and it does that kind of haptic feedback thing. That's cool. And they also mentioned, by the way, that they're going to come up with a version for the iPad pretty soon. So, you know, Microsoft Edge on iOS, if you install it on an iPad today, you just get the iPhone app blown up, which is kind of lousy. So they're actually going to support the bigger screen. I don't actually use this browser, but I got to say, if you do use Edge on Windows, you need to look at the mobile version of Microsoft Edge. It's surprisingly solid. Like, it's really, really good. I have lots of problems with it on Windows, which is why I don't use it. If you don't, look at it on iOS and Android, whatever you're using. It really is amazingly good.
I need to try it more on Android. I have it on there, but I never use it, but I should.
Yeah. It's just as it's, yep. It literally is using the Chrome browsing engine. So you're not missing anything. And if you use it, I don't, what do you use on your computer though? Would you use Edge?
Chrome.
No, so you don't, then don't Chrome. Use it. Well, I mean, there's no point. I mean, you want to have that synchronization. You know, you get like your passwords.
I mean, I have Edge. I have Edge on my computer.
Yeah, no, I know. It's like a little virus that everyone has on a computer. But the point is, if you're not using it.
I know.
You know, there's no point in using the mobile version.
I need to make myself try it more again and retry it. I do.
I'm glad I don't write about Microsoft because I don't have to. I could just let you guys do it. I'll make you a deal. I'll get the HP Envy and you can use Edge.
We're only slightly crazy.
Actually, wait a minute. Oh my God. I'm going to have to use Edge on the Envy. Right? It's that or IE.
No.
10S. I can't use Chrome on it.
Can you use Chrome in emulation?
Emulation? What's that?
Can you use Chrome, the browser you mean on Windows on ARM? Yeah, of course.
No, but it's 10S.
Right. You'd have to upgrade to Pro. Sorry.
So I can't upgrade this to Pro.
You can. Yeah, it's free. Yeah.
You can.
With the free upgrade. Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I can use Chrome. All right. I probably should use it as it is, though, for a while.
Try it.
Because we don't know what we don't want to know what the battery life will end up being, right?
Oh, boy. This is exactly what I'm talking about. What we're going to find out is that a Windows 10 on ARM PC, once you add 8 gigs of RAM, once you put Windows 10 Pro on there, is going to get 12 hours of battery life. And then the whole point of this thing is just thrown right out the window.
That's what I'm worried about.
I swear to God, if that's what happens,
well,
I will,
you know, that's part of the review process. I'm getting this not for my personal benefit, but so we can try out these propositions.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that that's what's going to happen, but you can kind of feel it coming, can't you?
Yeah.
You know?
No.
But that would be a good test of the premise that S gives you better battery life.
That's true. Well, I know. Yeah. That's true. One thing I will say about the promise of S is that there's no proof point to it. You know, Microsoft says over time, the performance doesn't degrade. It gets better battery life, yada, yada, yada. How do you know that? Show us.
Where's
the data on that?
Use 10S.
Yeah.
So I just thought because it's ARM, I couldn't put 10 Pro on it.
No, Windows 10 on ARM is just Windows 10. So that works. It's not just S.
It's not like RT.
Nope. Well, it is a little bit like RT. But
except RT,
Windows RT was a one-way dead-end road.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this is not.
How does it run with Linux?
That's up to you to test.
Wow. That'll be the last step of the test. Enterprise pick of the week from Mary Jo Foley.
We need a klaxon here. Do we have a horn?
I can get one.
Okay.
Wait a minute. A clown horn or a gauga?
No, a good horn. A good horn.
A clown horn.
Well, you said what she did sounded a little bit like a clown horn.
I know.
That's not what you're talking about. You want like...
No, we can use it.
Okay.
Because the Enterprise pick is finally true guest access will be available for Microsoft Teams starting next week. So if you remember, guest access, one of the most requested features of Teams.
Oh, sorry, the wrong one.
A band, a symbol, something.
That was a dramatic sting. There we go. Okay.
Yeah. We'll go with the clown horn. Well, it's kind of appropriate because it took Microsoft a while to pull this one over the finish line. But when they first announced Teams a year ago, they said, don't worry, guest access is coming by June. And then June came and went, and then it was like, okay, guest access.
Sorry.
I don't know if that's the horn
that's
I want. Oh,
that's boy. The dive sound.
I think what she's looking for is one of those like trumpet kind of announcement things, like the king has arrived. You know?
Oh, you want a fanfare.
Yeah.
Oh, you got to tell me, terminology is very important.
It is.
You want a trumpet fanfare?
Maybe.
Okay, we can do that. That's easy.
Okay.
Wait, he's licking his lips.
Jeez. That is way too close to Taps.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, true guest access for Microsoft Teams.
Doot, doot, doot. All right, guys, come on. Guest access.
Okay, sorry.
You want to care about this. You do.
Yeah.
Guest access, you know, like if somebody's not in your org, but you want to add them to a team, you haven't been able to do that unless they had an Azure Active Directory account. But as of next week, you will be able to add anyone with a commercial or a business email address, outlook.com, Gmail, Yahoo.
Yes. Oh man.
It deserved a horn. It deserved a whole symphony, really. Because people have been waiting for this and here it comes.
And it's here.
What did the Barry Jonas talk about?
I don't know.
Related tip with no horn.
Yes.
And but we do need Brad, the fireman, on this one.
This one's actually really, really exciting. So it Brad, is. Go ahead.
Brad broke the story. Yep. There may be a free standalone version of Teams coming sometime soon. Right now, to get
you're gonna play the Olympic fanfare music.
Oh, that would be good. That's what you really wanted. Yeah.
All right. Right now, you have to have an Office 365 account to get Teams.
Oh boy!
Fanfare for the common teams.
Common everyday person team. Yes. And you know why they're doing this, right? Because Slack has a free version.
Yeah. Sure. Right? Yeah. Sure. Although no one uses it because you run out of free quick.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you know, Microsoft will be like this too. It'll be like a freemium entry level version.
Yeah.
And then, hey, you can upgrade for $9.99 a month to the full version or whatever. Yeah. So yeah, we don't know what's for sure, but it's looking pretty solid that it
they have to do something like that. They have to. It's not competitive otherwise.
They did it for Power BI. When Power BI first came out, the business analytics service, there was only a paid version. And then they went back and they added the free tier of Power BI. And then they have the paid tier. So I think they'll do the same thing with Teams.
There you go. Codename pick of the week, Mary Jo Foley.
So this is a joint discovery by The Walking Cat and Taro Elhonen together. They pieced this together. So they found this video on the Microsoft Research site that since has been removed. But Zanzibar is a, quote, new sensing platform that enables novel forms of play and interaction. So I started looking around more and I'm like, wait, there's a team in Microsoft UK research that's called Connected Play. And I think this must be a project of theirs. Exactly how it fits in and the word play makes me think maybe Minecraft related somehow. They mentioned the maker culture as being an influence. So I don't know exactly what this thing is going to be, but it's a research project.
Given because it's coming from Cambridge, where the Raspberry Pi came from. And Microsoft does have relationships with Raspberry Pi. I wonder if it'll be an Arduino or a match or some sort of processor-based sensor. You know, remember Intel did the Edison that was kind of designed to support people doing kits and projects?
Yeah, they still do stuff like that, don't they?
They killed the Edison, but yeah.
But I think they still have,
Absolutely. Yeah.
Kit computer. Yeah.
Cambridge, UK is kind of a giveaway. I know it's Microsoft Research, but that's right next door to Raspberry Pi.
If you read the description of Connected Play, they talk about sensing interactions in natural ways, and they even use the words evoking emotion and magic.
Oh, well, I don't know about that.
Yeah. I don't know about that either. But so something in the works with research and play and the maker community that is codenamed Zanzibar.
I have to say they are doing such a great job as stewards of Minecraft.
Minecraft, yeah.
The new Minecraft update, Aquatic, is going to be amazing. It's coming out in a month or so. And They just really are knocking it out. And we talked about the Microsoft Minecraft for chemistry.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I just feel like that this has become so much more than it was.
Yeah.
And they could have really trashed it, but they did the opposite.
They could have just let it flounder along. I mean, it's amazing what they've done.
Yeah. So I like what they're involved in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's have some beer.
Yes.
Beer me, Mary Jo.
Okay, given we started the show with a Family Guy clip with Paul dissing IPAs, of course my pick is going to be an IPA today.
You asked for it, Paul. What was that
respect
saying?
The mouth.
What
respect was that yourself.
Respect your mouth, respect yourself.
Well, this week in New York, it's Craft Beer Week. And so I said, let me pick a New York brewery. One of my very favorites is Other Half in Brooklyn. And they make a bunch of super big hoppy IPAs, like 10% big kinds of beer. But they also make this really good sessionable 4% beer called Forever Ever.
I like that because I like to drink a low alcohol.
Yep.
That's why I drink cider. I like to drink something a little low alcohol. Yeah.
You can drink a lot of these and it doesn't feel watery or like you're just drinking something that has no taste. This has a lot of nice, hoppy, delicious flavor.
Sometimes I feel like Brooklyn is made of hops.
It does. It does.
Do you smell it from over the river?
Oh, man. You walk into their tap room and you're like, woo, hops.
Hops, woo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Lagunitas is like that, too. Very hoppy. Yep. Yeah.
Very.
I like it.
Yep.
I respect
Forever Ever.
Yep.
Good name.
Opinions
too.
Differ. That's all I'm saying.
I tell you, Paul doesn't even. Do you drink? You don't drink beer at all anymore, right?
No.
Wow, that's kind of sad.
Oh, if you understood how much.
But you lost a lot of
wine and whiskey I consume. You wouldn't feel bad.
But you look great. I mean, it's working for you. You're in. Are you constantly in ketosis now, or have you backed off?
No, I'm not. Actually, I haven't been in ketosis for a long time. I'm just doing
the ketogenic thing, right?
Yeah, it's basically just low carb at this point.
Yeah, I think it's become clear that sugar is poison.
Yeah, sugar is a toxin for sure.
It's a toxin. Yeah. I'm not even being facetious when I say that.
Yeah, no, I literally, yeah.
It makes you grow hair on your upper lip. That
not enough, apparently, in odd, patchy ways.
Oh, it is always fun to do this show, and we always learn a lot. Mary Jo Foley comes to us from ZDNet. They still let her do it. I don't know why. All about Microsoft.com. They don't even know, right? They don't. They've never.
They don't.
Yeah, they have no idea. No.
No.
No, actually, we have a lot of ZDNet people on this show.
I know you do.
Including the fabulous Jason Heiner and so many good people at ZDNet. Paul Thurrott is ensconced in his own little world at Thurrott.com.
Yep.
He's fighting for the resistance at THURROGood.com. He also writes books, and you'll find them at leanpub.com. And he does a million podcasts. You have that new, the relatively new one with Brad, right?
Yeah, that's just, 15 minutes. This is like a little quickie thing.
It's like saying your girl on the side, well, she's not that attractive.
It's a pied-à-terre.
It's okay, Paul. I can handle it. Where would we find that? Is that at
Brad means nothing to me, Leo.
Is that at Thurrott.com?
Yes, it is.
All right. That's the Thurrott.com. Oh, yeah. It's right there under podcast. First Ring Daily. There's also the Sam's Report, Windows Weekly, What the Tech. And by the way, as long as you're at Thurrott.com, you know what you really ought to do? You ought to subscribe to the premium version. I did. And I don't regret it. That's a big endorsement. I don't regret it, honestly.
I don't. It's like I scratched this thing off my face. And I don't think it's malignant, but I don't regret it.
No. I have, of course, subscribed. And if Mary Jo Foley charged for all about Microsoft.com, I'd pay for that, too.
Ooh, there's an idea.
Yeah, why don't you? You should do a paid newsletter for sure, Mary Jo. You would have big bucks. I know you can't.
I used to.
Yeah.
I used to, but not since I've been eating it.
Yeah, they won't let you, I'm sure. Or they'll say, we have to do it.
Yeah, they would do it.
I forgot about that.
What was yours called? I don't remember that.
It was called Microsoft Watch.
Oh, yeah. Never mind. I do remember
PC
that.
PC Week? Or E-Week?
E-Week.
E-Week, yeah.
In fact, I think that's when I first became aware of Ms. Foley. Thank you, everybody, for being here. We do Windows Weekly Wednesdays, 11 a.m. If Leo gets in time, gets in time. You know, I was late today because I'm not kidding. It was so darn cold in Petaluma. It was like 45 degrees.
Wow, really?
Leo.
That's cold for there, right?
Leo.
I didn't want to get out of bed. I was freezing. And then when I did, I got in the shower and I turned it all the way up and I just stood there for like half an hour and I said, oh, crap, I better go to
people are going into the grain bank to get warm.
Yes, we're freezing here in Petaluma. Look, I'm wearing layers.
You guys sleep in your socks. That's what I found out today.
I read that blog post that you tweeted. That is the funniest blog post.
So this winter, it was truly cold here, and it was so cold, I started going to bed with my socks on.
Oh, so this is a thing.
And yeah, I actually prefer now to sleep in socks. I mean, I think in the summer that will probably change, but so I actually looked it up randomly today. I was like, is this weird? Like, am I constricting my circulation by doing this or something? Like, is this, and that was the thing I found, and I was like, oh.
Well, the reason I cracked up is it's from Casper. It's a Casper
blog post.
Yep. You should wear socks to bed.
Yep.
Woolymag.com. But there's no evidence or anything. He just says
No. The important thing is that if you have an opinion,
that's right,
you'll be able to find something on the internet that supports your opinion.
It. Yeah.
Yep. So I found this and I tweeted it.
He says,
so now it's a fact.
He says, that's the beauty of the internet. Feelings have the force of law.
Yeah,
I think it's a factoid.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an alternate fact.
John DeVore, a very, very funny piece. And I'm now going to wear socks to bed. I don't know how Lisa's going to feel. I'm actually wearing socks handmade by my mother.
Nice.
My mom.
It's like a crayon box. Like, what?
Every color. Every color.
No, you know what? Men are supposed to wear these trendy, cool
jazzy socks.
Right?
You know why? Because everything else we wear is so boring.
Yeah.
I know.
So we have to, it's like doctors sometimes wear funny ties, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like to show they
or have, Jeffrey Snover.
Yeah.
Right.
To show
right.
they have character. Because everything mm-hmm. men have to wear is so dull, deathly dull. Yeah. Peter O'Toole, his entire life, wore green socks.
That's awesome.
That was his trademark. Well, now we've really killed the atmosphere. let's just
can you get a sad trombone sound? Maybe?
I know. We've got enough sounds.
Our show is Wednesdays, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, 1900 UTC. We are going to move back to a daylight saving time in a couple of weeks, but that means our show will move, but I'll tell you when that happens. If you want to be in studio, you can join us. Just email tickets at twit.tv. We'll put a chair out for you. You could also watch live, twit.tv/live. If you do that, join us in the fabulous chat room where they're now talking about socks.
Yep.
irc.twit.tv. On-demand versions of the show will be provided to you upon request at twit.tv/ww or wherever you subscribe to podcasts. Pocket Casts is currently right up there along with
is
iTunes.
It?
Yeah, Pocket Casts has become the dominant way. I don't know why.
I like it. That's what I use.
I do too. It's a good – but iTunes –
That's Overcast. Impressive, by the way, because you have to pay to use Pocket Cast.
Yeah, but people are serious about podcasts.
Yeah,
I guess.
That's good.
Up and coming, I believe, will be all these voice assistants. You can listen to our show. Just ask, Echo, listen to Windows Weekly. You'll get the most recent version. And that's convenient at home.
Yep. You don't even have to subscribe. You just walk around and talk.
And so I really think that's an up and comer. Even works with the amazing Harman Kardon and Vogue. Which, by the way, I also bought.
Does it?
Yeah.
Yes, you did.
I also bought it. I even have one of these. It's not connected to anything. This is a Google Home Assistant, but it's just I have it here for looks. Yeah.
It's cute. You can. It also it's a roll-on deodorant.
Actually, the most useless thing I have is the Apple HomePod. That thing doesn't connect to anything. It's just it's its own. Talk about being in your own world.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you next time on Windows Weekly. Bye-bye.